Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English.
We also explain words and language rules, all while bringing you stories and information from around the world. Today on the program, you will hear stories from Brian Lynn, Phil Dierking, Ann Ball, and Katie Weaver. Later, Jill Robbins and Alice Bryant will have this week's education report. But first, here is Brian Lynn.
U.S. Vice President Mike Pence has warned that the United States has not ruled out using military force to deal with an increasing nuclear threat from North Korea. He spoke of recent U.S. military strikes in Syria and Afghanistan as evidence of President Trump's strength and resolve. The warning came as Pence visited South Korea at the start of a four-nation Asia trip. He spoke during a joint appearance in Seoul with South Korea's acting president, Hwang Kyo-an. Pence urged the U.S. to move away from a previous policy of what he called strategic patience. He said this policy had failed to produce lasting progress with North Korea.
For more than two decades, the United States and our allies have worked to peacefully dismantle North Korea's nuclear program and alleviate the suffering of their people. But at every step of the way, North Korea answered our overtures with willful deception, broken promises, and nuclear and missile tests.
Pence noted that during the past 18 months, North Korea had carried out two nuclear tests and more missile tests than ever before. Kim Jong-un's government conducted its latest missile test on Sunday, just before Pence's arrival. The test failed when the missile exploded shortly after launch. While Vice President Pence is in Asia, he is expected to seek support for increasing pressure on North Korea to end its nuclear and missile development programs. All options are on the table, Pence told reporters at the demilitarized zone that separates North and South Korea. However, U.S. National Security Advisor H.R. McMaster said he is not currently considering a military option. On a TV news program, McMaster said U.S. officials are aiming to contain the threat peacefully. The Trump administration is reportedly considering new economic restrictions on North Korea. These could include an oil embargo, a global ban on its airline, stopping cargo ships, and punishing Chinese banks that do business with North Korean companies. China remains an important partner for the U.S. on North Korea. But Chinese officials have not supported strong measures against North Korea, which is a close ally of China. Those measures could cause instability at China's border and increase U.S. power in the area. A Chinese foreign ministry spokesman called for restarting multi-party talks that ended without agreement in 2009. He also spoke out against deploying the THAAD missile defense system in South Korea. Both Pence and Hwang repeated their support for THAAD as a way to protect against North Korean missile strikes. In Tokyo, Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe said a diplomatic effort is important to maintain peace on the Korean Peninsula. I'm Brian Lin.
The Malaysian government is facing public pressure to resist, following reports of the Chinese Coast Guard patrolling waters claimed by Malaysia. From December to late February, three Chinese Coast Guard ships had been patrolling off the Malaysian coast of Borneo. A Malaysian Coast Guard ship, according to the Asia Maritime Transparency Initiative, tracked the boats. The initiative is part of the U.S. Center for Strategic and International Studies, or CSIS. The Chinese boats were found near Luconia Shoals, a small area of land in Malaysia's exclusive economic zone. The report from CSIS says Malaysia also spotted 100 fishing boats escorted by the Chinese Coast Guard at the same area in March 2016. The Chinese Coast Guard had been there since 2013. Experts say the finding will add pressure on Malaysia's Prime Minister Najib Razak to respond against China. Colin Koh is a maritime security research fellow at Nanyang Technological University in Singapore. He feels that these issues will be problematic for Razak. This is going to become a particularly problematic issue that he will find very hard to deal with, Koh said. Razak usually avoids direct conflict with China. The country is Malaysia's top trading partner and its biggest source of direct foreign investment. Jonathan Spangler is director of the South China Sea think tank in Taipei. He says, for Malaysia, which has sought to maintain friendly relations with China, publicly condemning Chinese actions would disrupt that delicate balance and could have serious economic and other repercussions. In the past few years, China has reduced economic activities with South Korea, Taiwan, and countries in Europe when it is unhappy with their political decisions. CSIS says the presence of Chinese boats at Laconia Shoals is China's efforts to establish control over the Nine-Dash Line. China claims more than 90% of the South China Sea with the Nine-Dash Line boundary. The shoals, 100 kilometers north of Borneo in Malaysia and 2,000 kilometers south from China, fall within the Nine-Dash Line. Several Southeast Asian nations have claims to parts of the South China Sea for its abundance of fisheries and potential oil reserves. Colin Koh says people in Malaysia feel their government reacts too passively to China's ship movements. And public pressure will rise fast if China were to stop Malaysian boats in the exclusive economic zone. I'm Phil Dierking.
A company in San Francisco, California, has found a way to turn used plastic bottles into women's shoes. Every day, millions of Americans drink water and other liquids from plastic bottles. More than 60 million of them are thrown away each day. Many of the plastic bottles end up in landfills or are burned with other waste products. A San Francisco startup company called Rothy's, however, turns this plastic waste into environmentally friendly shoes. Roth Martin is the company's co-founder. He explains how they turn plastic into soft material for your feet. They take the plastic, clean it, and break it down into small pieces. Then they press it through a device that makes soft fibers. Those fibers are then combined or knit together. This is done by a three-dimensional knitting machine. It is designed to reduce waste while making the shoes. The knitted fabric and the inner part of the shoe are then attached to the shoe's outer part, called the sole. This outer sole is also made from environmentally friendly material, responsibly sourced, no-carbon rubber. Rothy's shoes are sold online. They are flat shoes with either a rounded or pointed toe. They come in different colors and designs. They cost either $125 or $145 per pair, depending on the design. After American actress Gwyneth Paltrow discovered them last year, the demand for the shoes grew. Martin says there is no shortage of material to fill that demand.
We're not going to run out of water bottles anytime soon, so we've got an infinite supply of material, and I think that bodes well for our future.
When the environmentally friendly shoes wear out, customers can return them at no cost to a company that uses the recycled materials to make other products. For now, the shoes are only available to be shipped in the United States. However, the company says it will add international shipping in the near future. I'm Ann Ball.
The nonprofit Long Now Foundation works to solve problems like climate change, disease, and the loss of languages. But it recently started an unusual project that could help support all its causes. Inside a mountain cave in Texas, the group is building a huge clock, but not one you would use to plan your day. This clock will tick just once a year. Every 100 years, it will make a louder bong sound. And each 1,000 years, the clock will release a cuckoo sound. The foundation says the 150-meter-tall clock is to operate for at least 10,000 years. So, what is it for? Alexander Rose is the executive director of Long Now. He says the clock is a symbol of the importance of long-term thinking.
There are certain problems such as climate change or education or things like that that could only be solved if you're thinking on a multi-generational or even longer time frame.
Rose notes the black-footed ferret as an example. Long Now's Revise and Restore project is working to save the endangered animal. The animal is threatened by habitat loss, but also by an old disease called plague. The Long Now Foundation is trying to make the ferret resistant to plague by changing the animal's DNA. Rose says Revise and Restore is also trying to bring back the woolly mammoth. It went out of existence many thousands of years ago. Disappearing languages is another Long Now concern. Experts say thousands of rare human languages could disappear in the next 80 years. One of them is Arapaho, a Native American language. William Seahare of the Northern Arapaho Language and Culture Commission still speaks it.
It is necessary to retain our language, which is our identity.
The foundation is working with language experts and native speakers to keep these languages alive. It has created small devices called Rosetta Disks that can hold thousands of pages of texts in more than 1,000 languages. Heather Ryan is the director of archives at the University of Colorado. She has helped the Long Now Foundation with the Rosetta Project since 2007. Ryan says the disks will help people who live on Earth thousands of years from now.
Looking 10,000 years into the future, somebody could come across and pick up the fact that there is information etched on here, and we can then find clues to all of the languages of human civilization over time.
The Long Now Foundation also supports live and recorded public speaking by creative thinkers like Larry Brilliant. He is a doctor who studies the spread of diseases. He helped the World Health Organization end the disease smallpox. Using long-term thinking to make a difference in the world is exactly what the Long Now Foundation is trying to do before the big clock stops. I'm Katie Weaver.
In this Education Tips report, we explore ways to use the VOA Learning English website for listening activities to help students learning American English. While these activities require an internet connection in the planning stage, most do not require you to use the internet in the classroom. For example, the text from our written series can be printed and read aloud to students. You can read more about materials needed for each activity by downloading the printable guide. Now, let's start with two activities for beginning English learners.
For the first activity, you can use audio from our popular culture program, What's Trending Today? Or the news-related stories from As It Is. Or try using a video from Newswords, a series about terms in the news. Before the activity, choose your audio or video. Also, develop 3 to 4 questions to test listener understanding. To begin the activity, divide students into groups of 3 or 4. Hand out the questions for the story or write them on a board or shared screen. Ask the students to read the questions before listening to the audio or watching the video. Then play the video or recording. Have each group work together on the answer to one question. They should write complete sentence answers. Set a limit of no more than 3 sentences per question. Then, have each group share their answers to the questions with the class.
Another group listening activity for beginning English learners uses the video series Let's Learn English. For this activity, teachers will need response paddles. These interactive paddles were developed by Bill Pello and Paul Shimizu, two professors based in Japan. You can click on the image of the paddles for a downloadable version that you can print, copy, and give to students. For more details, download the printable guide. Before the activity, choose the Let's Learn English episode you plan to show. To begin, divide students into pairs, groups of 2. Play the main video at the top of the page. After playing the video, show the online quiz on the shared screen. For each question, play the video and then let students discuss their answers. Then, ask them to raise their response paddles to show which answers they chose. For more on this activity, download the printable guide. Now, let's explore activities for intermediate-level English learners.
For this activity, you can choose from a wide variety of English learning series, such as English in a Minute, English at the Movies, Words and Their Stories, and Personal Technology. In addition, many of the As It Is stories are perfect for intermediate learners. Before the activity, choose the video or audio you'd like to use and prepare 5 questions about the material. To begin, divide students into 5 groups. Pairs will work well if the class has 10 students or less. Hand out copies of the questions or write them on the board or shared screen. Ask each group to be responsible for answering one question. If the class is large, two groups can answer one question and compare their answers.
For another activity, intermediate level learners can turn to our Health and Lifestyle and Science in the News series. Before the activity, choose the story you would like to use. You may notice that some health and science reports seem more complex than others. Some may be better for intermediate activities, while others are better for advanced activities. To begin the activity, organize students into small groups. Play the audio or have one or two students take turns reading parts of the story text aloud. Afterward, show the online quiz on the shared screen. Ask students to raise their response paddles to show which options they chose. Now, let's look at two activities for advanced learners.
The VOA Learning English programs, People in America and American Stories, also come with online quizzes. In addition, American Stories comes with a detailed, downloadable lesson plan each week. For the first activity, organize students into pairs or small groups. Play the video or audio for the program you have chosen. Then, show the online quiz on a shared screen. For each question, have students raise their response paddles to show the answers they chose. For details on additional listening activities for the two series, download the printable guide.
Our series, Health and Lifestyle and Science in the News, can also be useful as group listening activities for advanced level English learners. Remember that some of these stories work well for advanced learners, while others are better for intermediate learners. Before the activity, choose the story you'd like to use. To begin the activity, organize students into pairs or small groups. Play the audio or ask one or two volunteers to read the story aloud. Then, display the quiz on a shared screen. Ask students to raise their response paddles to show which answers they chose. After the quiz, there are additional learner-centered activities you can do. For example, you can
have students pretend to question a scientist or health expert about the subject of the story. Write a letter or call the main scientist named in the report. Ask a question or give advice related to the subject of the story. Create a word web of the main terms you need to know to understand the story. Take the story a few years into the future. How will this affect the average person? What developments do you predict will take place as a result of this scientific research or breakthrough in health understanding? I'm Jill Robbins.
And I'm Alice Bryant.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. Thank you.